God's faithfulness, and I'm calling our teaching today faithfulness, or God's faithfulness is our faithfulness. God's faithfulness is our faithfulness, and we have to draw, as we know, by the Holy Spirit, all that is in God. God graciously puts into us through Jesus his Son. Because of his fullness we have received. And so we are utterly dependent as we yield over by the Spirit to the life of Christ that's graciously given to us as a gift in our heart and spirit. So that we, as we know it taught, we decrease, but he increases. And we know that, as we've been taught over the years, that our yielding to the Spirit is that absence of resistance. In other words, when God is working in our hearts, our lives, our circumstances, instead of fighting him, we yield over and we allow the power of God through the Holy Spirit in which to work in and through us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. But God's faithfulness is our faithfulness. And faithfulness is the rock on which the Christian church is built. In actual fact, we would not really be either having fellowship here today had it not been for faithful saints through the centuries who have faithfully prayed, interceded, prayed for the church, prayed for the harvest, and so on. We are a product of prayers, intercessions, of saints through the centuries who have believed and have been faithful and held on to the revelation of God's word. And I think we tend to forget this sometimes, and above all, of course, Jesus, who is our high priest, the faithful one. But I just want to speak briefly about faithfulness, the understanding of faithfulness. I know we talk much about it, but from God's perspective and from Scripture, it's good that we just reiterate some of these things, because you see, faithfulness is to be experienced. It's not simply just teaching and theology, which is important, but our theology and our teachings have to be translated into experiences. We have to live and walk this walk. How do we know God's love unless we are touched by that love? So there are many, many things that we have to mature and grow into. There are many things that we read in Scripture where we find that God is working in us to experience what we read, and as we read the promises of God. So this is why we're constantly being changed from glory into glory. And this, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit. He has come bringing Jesus Christ to us, so that we can walk with him and experience him, just like in many ways the apostles did. Although we don't see him, yet he's here with us. And we of course know where two or three are gathered together, he says, there am I in the midst of you. So faithfulness is to be experienced. And God's faithfulness is also expressed as his steadfastness. It's his self-consistency. It is him. When we talk about God, we're talking about his faithfulness. He doesn't have to be faithful. He doesn't try to be faithful. The same as God doesn't try to love, he is love. We are being perfected into those attributes in that sense. But he doesn't have to, because he is. So God is steadfast, which gives us this idea of his faithfulness. The Old Testament calls him a rock. And did he not say to Peter, upon this rock I shall build my ecclesia, my called out assembly, my chosen? The Christian church. Here again is this idea of God's steadfastness, his faithfulness. He is the rock. He's the bedrock upon which everything is built upon, because he's faithful. So the church exists, our fellowship exists today, because God is faithful. And therefore he's working his faithfulness, that faithfulness, in our lives and in our walk as well. Isn't that tremendous how God is doing this? It is his framework in which he builds everything. When he spoke the world into being, when he divided the light and darkness and so forth, his faithfulness is the bedrock in which he builds everything. This is why In the Old Testament, the Hebrew understanding of faithfulness was the rock. This is why they built things out of rock. This is why they made altars out of rock. Or memorials where they made a rock or whatever. It was the idea or understanding of God's faithfulness. He's unchangeable, unmovable. Always has, will be, and forever and ever. All of it really comes down to the fact that God is faithful, steadfast. And Jesus was given to us as the faithful one. That's what he's called in the New Covenant. He was given to us as the faithful one, representing, emulating, showing us that God is faithful. Unmovable, never changes. What he's promised, what he's decreed, will come to pass. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is given to us as God's faithfulness. That's why his faithfulness is seen now in his priestly ministry, which he's now high priest, who intercedes for us. That tells us again the faithfulness of God, that work which he has begun in us, he will complete and finish. You see, we're called to be a people of faith. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. That is how we are to walk, because faith produces that faithfulness. Our faith, the Christian faith, has produced a bedrock of believers standing on that true rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. And this is why saints were able to go through persecution, through martyrdom, through rejection, all the trials that we go through, and yes, we too go through as well, because it's about faithfulness. And our faith, which is a gift given to us, is really faithfulness, that we can stand and endure and remain faithful to the end. And the Holy Spirit produces that faithfulness in each of us. We are not born with it. When we become a new creation, we receive that new nature. We have to, that has to be worked on. This is why we have the analogies of the potter and the clay. And faithfulness has to be worked into our lives, into our character, into our walk, into our faith, into our believing, and so on. Hallelujah. And so the one who is faithful believes that God is completely sovereign, in control of circumstances, your circumstances, my circumstances. When we start to embrace God that way, we're beginning to understand his faithfulness. And that's why we can embrace such scriptures as Romans 8 verse 28, which we all know very, very well, and I'll read to you very briefly. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And it goes on how he foreknew and predestined and so on, that we should be conformed to the image of his Son. How can God make a promise like that if he's not faithful? Only God's faithfulness can say such a statement that we can hope in and stand and endure, because he foreknew us. He knew us before the foundation of the world. We've always been in God's mind and heart and being and purpose and plan. There never was a time when you were not, where God is concerned. I know that sounds mind-blowing, but they are the facts. And we know, he says. Now, when he uses, we know that all things work together for good, it means I know that because it's my experience. I know that as I read it because I've felt it, I've touched it, I've experienced it, I've seen it being worked out in my life. That's what it means to know. And we know that all things work together for good. However negative, however futile, however small, or however great, or whatever, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I'm experiencing now, today, is working together for good. Because it's about God's faithfulness, which he has imparted into me as well, to be faithful. And it will work itself out for the glory of God. This is why we're not to get our minds into these things. This is why he doesn't want us anxious and fearful and unbelieving. It may take us by surprise, but it never takes God by surprise. That's the whole point. You know, a lot of our unbelief, a lot of the reasons why we don't believe like we do, is because we've not yet experienced that God is faithful. And he's imparting that to me. He knows he's faithful. He knows he doesn't have to work at it or try at it. It is him. It is his nature. And we have received his nature through Jesus Christ. This is why you have to be born again. You have to be a new nature, you see. This is the whole point of which he's imparted this to us. But the problem is, we still think through our circumstances that people still control us, or we are controlled by people, and so on. We're not. Whatever we encounter, whatever comes our way, has been permitted by God for a purpose and a reason. And I can assure you, it is always for your benefit in the end, however it looks. And we know whether we believe this, because we know what comes out of our mouth. Does still fear, the negative, come out of our mouth? Oh, this is no good, it's hopeless, it's all finished, all gone, and so forth. Or do we find what comes out of our mouth? Well, Lord, you are permitting and allowing this for a reason. It is because you are faithful. And your faithfulness is being imparted and worked into me through this trial, or what that person has said, or circumstances, or whatever it will be. Are we still affected by the boss at work who's making life hard for me, or has got it in for you, or so on, or whatever it is? Yes, it may be going on. Yes, it may be real. But that is God's faithfulness being perfected in you. And God is permitting, allowing that, for that very purpose and reason. You know, brothers and sisters, the whole revelation of our walk as pilgrims is, we have everything to gain. We are the only people who walk on planet Earth who have the victory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hold on to that. Let that become a revelation in your heart, your mind, your thinking, your everything. This looks ridiculous, this looks hopeless, but I stand in victory. Of course it's crazy. But that is how God has chosen to manifest his faithfulness to each of us. Or we sometimes go through the fact when we think, I don't know how much more I can take of this. I don't know how much more I can take of my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife. The household is in a mess. There's no divine order. It looks, it's going from bad to worse. God's got a reason. He's still in control. What am I confessing at that point? And our confession tells us where we stand. Our confession tells us what we're believing and what we're still not believing. Because it will come out of our mouth, sooner or later. Or, I can't take any more of this pain. And physical pain is very real. That is a hard trial, when you have constant physical pain, because you want to get your mind round that, to understand, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? It's always that why. When we stop asking why, then we're starting to learn. Because all God is ever going to say in a trial, and I know we don't like this, but my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
And we're going to learn this, and we're going to appreciate this, because we're going to experience this. As those words, my grace is sufficient, is translated into experience. And you will see the higher picture, the bigger reason behind it, when Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. You'll see the bigger picture eventually. But yes, we go through these things for a season. And thank God they are only for a season. Even pain. Another one that we find our confession falters and wavers is when we say to ourselves, I can't keep going on in this financial mess. It's nothing but a mess. My finances, or our finances. The only thing we'll have to do is take out a loan. And then that's a further pressure. A further problem. And we're failing to see that all things are working together for good. If you're going through financial difficulty, it is for a reason. And God has got a higher reason, a bigger picture that he wants to show you. But in your trials, what he wants to show you is he is faithful. In your financial mess, he is faithful and he will provide. Because he's still a miracle working God. And the contemporary church today has lost the vision and sight of a miracle working God. Because every time a trial comes, they run to the arm of the flesh for support. And vain is the help of man, as the scriptures tell us. But God will do it. God will sort out these messes. You don't need to take out a loan, because you are more in bondage to man then. You're held. The enemy has got you. This is why the economy of the world is going to fall. Because the world governments cannot keep taking out loans. It's money. It has to be paid. And the whole economies will finally fall in these last days on that principle. The reason man takes loans, the reason money is such a problem today. In the news, you constantly hear about money, or money's needed, or finances are needed, and so on. The reason that that is always the focal point is because, as we know, as the scriptures say, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they think by taking loans, it's going to go away. And it doesn't. This is why councils up and down this country are in humongous debt. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And they think somehow it's going to go away. And it doesn't. God, through Jesus Christ, came into the world to deliver you and I from all those bondages, those corruptions. And he said, just seek me. Put me first. Seek the kingdom. And all will be added unto you. And yet, do we do it? No. We still want to go the world's ways, talk the world's ways, act like the world's ways, dress like the world's ways, and so on. And we wonder why we have the problems that we have. Now, either the Lord is faithful, or he's not. Because if he's not, then I might as well stop preaching. And I might as well stop talking and preaching to you. But I can't. And the reason I can't is because I know in my heart God is faithful. And he has placed his faithfulness into my heart and your heart. And that's why we are on the rock of Jesus Christ, and we make up part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He has come to set the captives free. And whatever your sin, whatever your weakness, whatever you are still compromising in, he has come in his faithfulness to set you and I free. It's whether we choose to believe this or not. Because some of us, brothers and sisters, are going to have to make choices pretty soon. Because the Lord's moving on. He's getting the bride ready for the rapture. And so, you know, it's what we want at the end of the day. You see, your actions prove your faithfulness. Because unless we face these issues, we won't be faithful. And that's the whole point. Do you want to be faithful to the Lord? Then he says, get free from these bondages. because I have provided through the blood of the Lamb that you can do this. And this is why we draw from his faithfulness. You will never be faithful as a Christian walking in this life unless you are drawing from the faithfulness of God himself. Let's turn to some scriptures now, because I've said quite a bit here. Revelation 21 and verse 5. Revelation 21 and verse 5. Then he sat on the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, these words are true and faithful." Here it is. Just what I said in the opening. That is God. That is his steadfastness. That is him. And he says, "I'm going to make all things new, because even the stars of heaven are not clean in his sight." He's going to roll it all up and bring down anew out of heaven the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new earth and the heavens. And he said, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." This is why the revelation of God's word, these 66 books, are a revelation of God's faithfulness. Unmovable, never changing, always has been and always will be, forever and ever. How about Revelation 22 and verse 6? Revelation 22 and verse 6, where he describes the New Jerusalem and the river of life. And here he says, "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." Most of the world doesn't think that God is faithful. They'll tell you he isn't a God of love. They'll tell you, "Well, if he's what he says he is, then why do these things happen today?" And the enemy is very, very vocal in all of that. But God doesn't change. He's faithful. Let's turn to some more scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering." Why do we do that? "For he who promised is faithful." That's why. That's why I'm preaching today. That's why I share the word with you today. Because it's to affect your confession. It's to change your believing. It's to open our hearts so that the seed of this word takes root into us and brings forth that fruit. Why? Because the one who has promised is faithful. That's why we hold on to the promises of God's word, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's all about what we're confessing, what we're saying, what we're believing. We are agreeing with the word of God. We line our confession up with God's word. We don't deviate from it. We confess it. And where we're not in that place of faith, then we humble ourselves and we admit it. And we confess it. Because we have the blood of Jesus that deals with our sin and unbelief until we come to that place. This is why we don't water the word of God down, because of our unbelief, like so many do in churches, like so many ministers do, because ministers are filled with unbelief, they're filled with bad habits, and they can't see that they can get to that goal, so they'll water the word of God down to their level, and that's what the congregation and people will do. They will go no higher than the preachers. That's the tragedy. And they queue up to listen to that. A true preacher who's called from the mother's womb will look at this word and say, I am not worthy to preach this. There's no way I can preach this word, this gospel. My life doesn't match up to it and everything. And what do you hear from God? My grace is sufficient. Why, even the Apostle Paul echoed that. This is why I say, if you are called to the fivefold ministry, you don't find it, it finds you. And that's the principle. And brothers and sisters, that's why I ran away for a year. Because I was frightened of it. It terrified me. But God has a way, brothers and sisters. And that's why our gifts and our callings are from God. And God has made no mistake over your life, my life. He's made no mistake that you should be here today. This is a divine appointment. Every time we come together, whether online or together in the flesh, it's a divine appointment with Almighty God for a purpose and a reason. That is why our meetings are a blessing, but they're also sovereign. And you make sure that you enter the meetings with the right heart and the right spirit. No sin, unforgiveness, resentment, anger, those things. Because there's coming a day and an hour when we'll do two things in this assembly. We'll either stay in it or we'll run away. Because God is manifesting himself. And that is fearful. Yet it's also a great blessing and a great joy. That is the whole point. Yet this is why, you see, God may allow our circumstances to fall apart, which is to expose our unfaithfulness. And very often, it's because we're not just seeing his sovereignty. We're just not acknowledging that he is what he says he is in the Word of God. We still want to mold him around our unbelief, our rebellion, our independent spirit. I want to do it my way. We're still trying to mold God round to that. And he isn't going to have it. He won't. And we just have to fall to our knees and accept that his way is always right. You have to tell him sometimes you don't like his ways. They're too hard. They go completely against the flesh, the pride and everything. Sometimes you just have to come clean and tell him these things. I have. But you know what? He doesn't cast us away. He doesn't come down us like a ton of bricks. His grace is there to work with us, to bring us, so that he works these affections within our heart. None of us can love God unless he puts it in our hearts and works it. That is the state he found us in. Let's see, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What a lovely promise there, eh? Not very long, just a few words. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He is reiterating there the faithfulness of God. He's not just said he's faithful, but he brings it into terms and languages we can understand. And he will do it, because he is faithful. And this is why he's getting us to worship and to praise him even in these difficult circumstances. because he's faithful to change our situation. And sometimes he can do it very quickly. That's the amazing thing. And this is why we have faithfulness so wrong at times. You see, we will be faithful. Maybe at work, we can find ourselves very faithful at work, on time, good with the boss, maybe go that extra mile. We can be faithful to our children. We can be faithful to our hobbies, faithful to exercising, faithful in visiting friends and family. But just don't ask me to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Human nature, what sin has done. So God has to put it in us. Hallelujah. You see, the aim of faithfulness is not to work for him, but that he is free to do his work through me. And that is the key and the understanding of entering into his faithfulness. I'll give this again. The aim of faithfulness is not to work for him, but that he is free, or I am free, to do his work through me. It's that yielding again, and not resisting. And when we stop resisting him, then we're going to start to experience his faithfulness being worked in and through each one of us. And then he begins to place on us these ministries, responsibilities, and expects no complaining. And very often, when he's using us, or even when we go through a trial, he gives no explanation, nothing on his part. He simply wishes to use us as he used his son. And many times God isn't going to explain to you. Only pride in us still wants to find out, and we want to know. All the while we want to know, it's still a sign telling us, I like being in control. God will get us to a place where we don't ask questions, because his faithfulness has so worked in and through us that we know whatever this is, whatever he's asking me to do, or whatever my ministry demands, or whatever the trial, whatever, I know this is working together for good, and there's no point asking questions. That's why God doesn't answer you many things you're trying to find out and ask, because he's got a greater picture involved, because he wants you to experience his faithfulness. He wants that to become part of your life. What he is, he wants you to be as well. And he's working that in you and I. Well, what is the conclusion then we can draw from this? Well, we draw from him his faithfulness, because he was faithful and he is faithful. The same spirit that was in Jesus, in him, is the same spirit that is within us. The faithfulness that caused our Lord to be able to go to the cross, to surrender his life up, is the same spirit, the same everything is within us as well. It is no different. He simply yielded up. He gave himself over to the situations that were going to accomplish faithfulness in and through him. You see, faithfulness can't be seen unless we go through the experiences in order for faithfulness to be seen. One of the delights that I take out of this church, Full Gospel Assembly, that has now been going for some 40 years, when I look at this work, the thing that speaks to me The word that comes out is faithfulness. There have been a group of saints who stayed with it, who didn't run off, or didn't look to other pastures, but held and embraced the word, the deeper life that was given way, way back. God soon showed me that unless I am faithful, what is there to build? How can you build if there's no faithfulness? Because faithfulness is a rock. Steadfastness is God's character. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Unmovable. The same as he's working it in you and me. This spiritual building being built. This is why it's so important, brothers and sisters. You know, we can be slaves in faithfulness to wrong things. And that's why God's delivering us. That is why when we embrace the deeper life in the Spirit, we soon began to learn that in nature it was deliverance. It was delivering us because we were slaves to wrong things and we thought that was faithfulness. And this is why God has to undo. This is why he has to deliver us. This is why he has to change our mind, our hearts, our thinking. We can be very committed to the Word of God, but unless the Holy Spirit who inspired this Word is changing and putting that faithfulness into our lives, it's going to mean nothing. Going to mean absolutely nothing. So everything that God is, and we have been looking today, that he is faithful, he's steadfast, that is him. He was able to create the heavens and the earth. You are his creation because he is faithful. He's imparting that. That very same spirit is now residing, living in you. All he's asked us to do is to simply stop fighting him, but to yield over and allow that steadfastness, that faithfulness, that rock-like attitude and heart and spirit to take over in your life and my life. And then the Lord has something to build upon. Amen. Heavenly Father, again today we bless you, we thank you. You are so gracious, so merciful. Again, Lord, we just are aware how that you have called us. We know that because we're here today. We come back for more and more. Again, Lord, we have just seen some coming into the room, but they don't stay. They don't stay because they're not hearing. They can't hear it. Lord, what have we done to deserve this? Absolutely nothing. And yet your love and grace and mercy has opened our hearts, our lives to Almighty God. That we might be here today, each of us, worshipping you, praising you, acknowledging you, listening to you. Thank you, Father, that you have lifted us up into heavenly places today. Thank you that you first loved us. We are your handiwork, your creation. And Lord, you want to work all these blessings in your word, these promises in your word. You want to work these in our lives, in our flesh, that the world will see. Father, continue to do it. Help us, Lord, not to fight you. You said your grace is sufficient. And I know some of my brothers and sisters are going through great trial, great turmoil. But Lord, let that steadfastness, that faithfulness take over. Let them hear coming out of their mouths, well, this hurts, I don't understand, All this is going on, but I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Let us stop asking why. Let us stop meddling, inquiring, trying to find out. Let us rest once and for all that faith has provided, that we can rest on the faithfulness, the steadfastness of God. Lord, we will never rest until that becomes our full experience. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise his name. Thank you, Father.
Jesus is